I want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Oop, went on a bit of a rant there, huh?
Oh, welcome back, everybody, to the SideQuest Podcast. This is Eric, and we have a fun-packed episode for you today. A lot has happened this week. The Thor Love and Thunder, the trailer has finally emerged from the depths, and we definitely want to start right there and talk all about it. So, gentlemen, let's start on our first main quest of the day. I want to hear all of your thoughts and love and praise or hate for the new Thor. I guess it's a teaser trailer, you know, the first of the many to come, but a little late in the game. I was expecting a little bit more, maybe a couple months back, but Jeff, I'm going to kick this one over to you. What did you think? Yeah?
That sounds good, man.
Yes, sounds good. Well, in his absence, well, I'm going to take silence as he's blown away. He's without words. So, Justin, we'll kick it over to you.
Rock and roll. I don't know what happened to Jeff. I'm sure he'll bounce back here in a moment. But audience. So I really enjoyed the first three Thor movies. Is this really Thor number four? Thor 4?
Yeah, it is Thor 4.
Jeez. Four. But I got to say, I feel like I enjoy what they did from a marketing standpoint because they really didn't show us anything.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, I know nothing about this movie other than Thor is like kind of like, oh, I'm tired, and Chris Pratt's kind of like, I'm Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Outside of that, and then Jane Foster gets the Mjolnir. It's like, so it pumped me up. The music was awesome. The visuals were cool as hell. But I have no idea what this movie's about.
Yeah, I would agree. I love all those points. And you know, I'm excited for what they did in the teaser because I feel like I know they're going to release like four more before it comes out and like five TV spots and little featurettes and things like that. But, you know, for what it was, I think it's just enough. Don't do anything more. Don't give us any more info. They left out like the big bad villain Gore out of it. Leave him out of it. Let it be a reveal in the movie. You know, Mighty Thor with Jane Foster, she's coming at the end, and she kind of looked almost like the helmet looked like Peacemaker or something. It was kind of silly looking, but it was really cool to see, and it seems like they're going to be going to a number of different worlds and be very mystical and exciting. And I guess what I'll say is I'm a little bit concerned, even though we only saw a minute and a half of the movie, or at least of just, you know, teaser in bits, but I'm a little bit concerned is like, what's Thor's role in the movie even going to be? I feel like he's going to be very undershadowed. I feel like he's kind of retiring and they have to bring him out of retirement. We know nothing about the movie, so this is pure speculation, but I feel like, you know, Thor is just going to be underutilized and he's just on this weird journey. And then in the end, he has to come and use his powers. And then who knows what happens at that point. I think we got Jeff back. So Jeff, if you heard any of that, we're just kind of speculating on what we thought of the Thor trailer. And if you have any extra tidbits to throw in there, what were your first reactions?
No, I like the music. I like the direction that they're taking it in, or they have been, at least in Ragnarok and stuff. I read a little bit of this comic one. I know, surprising, right?
Oh, wow.
So it's really interesting and it's not going to be the way like you were just describing. Oh, he comes save the day, all that. It's definitely going to be not that if they follow what the comic did, which is kind of crazy and all over the place. So it should be pretty damn good. I'm excited to see Christian Bale as Gore, the God Killer, whoever he is.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they haven't shown him, and hopefully they don't. And yes, we get to see him when we get to the theater.
I'm with you there. And, you know, Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but according to what I know and what I read about Jane Foster is that whether it's going to be the reality sludge that was in her or some other form of, you know, her being in a mystic world when she's not supposed to be, that I think she gets like some form of cancer, and like Mjolnir or just being an Asgard or something, you know, I know Asgard doesn't exist anymore, but whatever it is, like the power that she will wield allows her to stay alive and cures the cancer, but it's kind of like an ongoing battle. So it's kind of like without Mjolnir, she loses it and she's dying. But when she's Thor or Mighty Thor, she kind of regains power and, you know, this will to live. And she, you know, I don't know. That's what I read. So feel free to just poke tons of holes in it. But I don't know if you know any of that. If I just butchered it.
No. And Jeff seems like he's the authority, because I haven't read the comics in this storyline. But I'm as familiar as you are, Eric, about the speculation of what Jane Foster's going to be going through and what that means and the emotional weight that that's going to carry in this movie. So I think it's going to be a lot of a deeper flick than Ragnarok was, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's dying of cancer, like, yep. Jeff Goldblum was just talking about he just wanted his birthday orgy.
Exactly. I have two questions, two side questions in terms of Thor 4. One question is, how long do we think Guardians of the Galaxy are going to hang out in this movie? Like, are they going to be a pivotal point, or is it just kind of like dropping him off and peacing out? And then two, do we think Thor is going to die in this movie? Or, I don't know, pull the Captain America and retire and just sit on a bench like an old man. So two side questions for you, answer in no particular order. But Justin, I'm ping-ponging it right back to you.
Thank you. Got my racket ready. I'm going to say I hope that the Guardians play a small part. I love the Guardians. I think that the interactions that they have with Thor are awesome. But I want it to be a Thor movie, not a Thor collab with Star-Lord.
Right.
So that's my fingers crossed hope. And then I don't think Thor is going to die. I think we are going to lose Jane Foster, which is totally fine by me. I like Natalie Portman, nothing against her, but Jane Foster brings very little to the table before this movie in the franchise, in my opinion.
Okay, very good. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Justin. I don't think we're going to lose Thor at all. Chris Hemsworth's been pretty vocal about wanting to play him for a lot longer. And especially with Tom Hiddleston, you know, definitely now having a bigger role as Loki, you can't not have the two of them. I also think, again, I just agree with Justin again on the Guardians are just going to be there at the beginning. I don't think it's going to be a Guardians movie. I think they'll play just a small role in the beginning. And it kind of looked like that. They left him somewhere and he's going to go find his way or figure out what the hell's going on. And I have no idea what Jane, I don't see why they would kill her if they're bringing her back. When that doesn't really make sense to me, but maybe they will.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, Marvel's kind of on this thing of just going to have an all-women's Avengers at this point, and there'll be no dudes left.
It'll be Wovengers. We're calling it now.
Yeah, Wovengers.
We're gonna capture that domain now, so they have to pay us a bunch of money. I'm with both of you on the Guardians piece. I hope it's just like the first 30 minutes. It's probably going to be easily a 2.5-hour movie. That's like Marvel's, you know, minimum amount of movie right nowadays. So 2.5-hour movie. I hope they're just in the first 30 minutes. He probably goes through this regimen of working out and getting in shape, and then they drop him off on a planet and he's trying to retire, and who knows what the fuck happens after that. But then after that, I personally, it's going to be an unpopular opinion, but I feel like Thor, no offense to Chris Hemsworth, but I feel like his character is at the end of what I would say people will care about. I feel like, don't get me wrong, you know, I enjoyed his first movie. The second movie, I know you guys, we battle in this all the time. I was not a big fan of. Third one, I think we all loved, absolutely. This fourth one, I think he'll go out on a big high note. It'll be a way for him to really, like, I don't know, hang up his hat on the mantle and everybody be proud of him, and maybe he sacrifices himself for the greater good. I mean, we're going against, I only know him so much again, and Justin, I don't know how much you know, but or Jeff, you ran into, but like, this is Gore, the God Butcher. And, you know, Thor is a god in a general sense of the term, but like, is he gonna kill Thor? Like, is this gonna be a Thanos where, you know, in Infinity War that he kills the good guy, and we're like, oh shit, that was unexpected. I mean, I feel like at this point, Marvel loves throwing curveballs, and I just, I don't know how much more Thor can go on in terms of story and his powers, and you know, he's really powerful, right? Like him in any situation in any other movie, he's just going to kick ass and kill people. Like there's really him and Captain Marvel and Doctor Strange, though, and Wanda, right? If she turns back to the good side, like there is no force on this in the universe. Justin, I know you're probably like, what the hell, man? I feel like there's no forces in the universe that you team those four or five people up. Like who the hell could beat them?
Okay, there's a whole comic series dedicated to Avengers versus X-Men, which addresses a lot of what you're just saying. But
also like baddies like Galactus, and I mean, there's huge cosmic level that is nowhere near Thor's level. I mean, depending on what Thor you're talking about, I think Thor at one point can like one shot the universe. It all just depends on the comic who's writing it. So
yeah,
there is so many. I really enjoy Thor, so I've looked in his comics. They haven't even touched, you know, a percentage of the stories and craziness that they can do with him and Loki together, which I hope we get more of. There's a lot more for Thor. And I want to see how, you know, if they're going to go out, it's going to be him and Loki together in some other movie or some other big epic Avengers type thing, but I don't think we've seen the last of Thor, not even an inch.
Yeah, I think I feel like I agree with Jeff wholeheartedly, and like we haven't even touched on bringing Hercules into the MCU yet,
and they're bringing in the Pantheon, right? Didn't I see Zeus in there too?
It's gonna be wild.
Now we got Moon Knight with all the Egyptian gods. Like there is a lot of God stuff that could start coming out of this.
It's unraveling in the best way possible very quickly. You know, like now each week with Moon Knight coming out, and then of course, you know, Doctor Strange, we know that's going to open up a whole can of worms. So I trust me, I hope you guys are right. I hope we see more Thor. I have this weird feeling like somebody's got to go, and I feel the same way. I'm not trying to skip too far ahead, and I don't even know if they've like started shooting this or they're, you know, done yet, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I feel like, again, there's got to be some consequences. You know, they've been a family and putting this thing together and going so long that I feel like there needs to be some heavy loss in order for maybe, you know, people to really care about
it. They did have a heavy loss.
Who?
Gamora?
I mean, she's alive. 24
Gamora. This is one that does not know this crew. This one has not been through all their stuff. Yeah, they have a Gamora back, but they haven't dealt with this one. And also her sister went through heavy loss and is on this redemption path. There's a lot to go with them as well.
And not to mention, we've lost Black Widow, we've lost Captain America, we've lost Iron Man, we've lost Ralph Boner.
Yeah, we don't need more loss. I mean, how many of these heroes do you want dead?
Well, here's the thing.
You're like, Thor's going out, and I hope on the next galaxy there's big loss there. At the end of it, there'll be no more.
Well, but think about it. How many, since Endgame, how many new characters have honestly been introduced to the MCU? So, like, you know, we have lost some big characters, don't get me wrong, but I feel like they're adding, like, Ms. Marvel's coming out this summer, and how many new characters are going to be introduced in Multiverse of Madness, and What If is now canon, and, you know, this new Thor movie. So, I mean, there's a lot of people getting introduced, and a lot of new side characters, and I think American Chavez is in Multiverse of Madness, and I, you know, Hercules, I heard, is in Thor 4. And is he going to be a long term, you know? So I agree, and also mutants, like, so I totally agree with you guys. I just think
Justin, when are the mutants coming? Can you please tell us? Because what are they doing over at Marvel? They own them. Where are they?
It really seems like we might get some Charles Xavier action in the Multiverse of Madness, and that'll open the door with the Illuminati to a separate universe where the mutants are ready and waiting.
I got to ask a side question on that one for you guys. Is how do we feel like the mutants will be earned when they show up in the MCU? Because like right now, I hate to say it, like, Marvel has all these, like, cards they can pull out of their back pocket. Oh, this is just a variant. Oh, actually, this whole thing that happened in the MCU with Kang and in the timeline, that was just one alternate universe out of a million universes. So the mutants are actually in the main universe. So this whole last, you know, 23 movies were just a goof. That's not the real universe. Now here's mutants. It's just a goof, right? So I don't
it's
know.
Goofing on you.
Do you guys, I me personally, I hope it's going to be earned. But do you guys think they're going to pull some bullshit card out of their pocket just to like in Multiverse of Madness? All of a sudden, what, he's just sitting up there, and we're going to believe like, oh, this is it. Mutants are here now.
I agree with you. Yeah, it has to be earned. Anything that you do in any job that you have, from a receptionist to CEO of a company, you have to earn your right to sit at the table, and the mutants need to earn that right. I feel like they've got some shortcuts that they can use, and in the comics, there's established different universes outside of 616 where they have the opportunity to bring in mutants, but man alive, I mean, if they can do it and they can pull it off, and because they're moving forward with the next Deadpool movie, like that's happening. Deadpool's a mutant. You're talking about we're talking about Hercules. Hercules and Deadpool have their whole own series where they are basically like buddy buddy detectives, like trashing through everybody that fucks with them. I just the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Jeff, what are your thoughts? What, do you think they're going to show up in Multiverse of Madness, or is that just going to be a little new boot goofing and it's just a tease and it's not real?
I think it's probably maybe both. I mean, Xavier, they can't start a new X-Men and just have Xavier like, oh, hey, Patrick Stewart, you're back for another 10 movies and some shows.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do there. I could see this as them finally bringing the Fantastic Four in. I still don't know how they're going to do mutants. I just...
Yeah. Well, and not to cut you off, but like if I recall from what I've learned and read so much about, you know, leading up to Multiverse of Madness, that this is, basically it's House of M where Wanda at the end of it says no more mutants. So, you know, theoretically, if there are mutants in this movie, at the end of it, she's saying no more mutants and then she makes them all disappear. So, again, is it like a tease just to say they're gone and then it's like, oh wait, now where did they go, right? Or is it kind of like a reverse House of M where she says I want mutants, you know,
or this has all been House of M and there hasn't been mutants and now she brings it back? I mean, you got a good, that's kind of a clever theory there. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Yeah,
Marvel knows what they're doing. They know X-Men is a gold mine. They want to get it there. It's just however Kevin Feige's gonna do it, he'll do it.
Yeah. He'll do it, and they've got it. They've got the roads already paved. I know it.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Yeah, they're thinking long game. That's how they play this.
Yeah, and that's the beauty part about the comics, too, is it starts in the 60s, and it's still going on to this day, where you have Apocalypse established in the 70s, and he's the parent of all mutants in Egypt, which, and now we're being introduced to the gods in Egypt, and it's like... They can do whatever the hell they want. I think they will. And I think it's
any Moon Knight updates or thoughts?
I haven't seen the latest episode, but, you know, I have to admit, though, that we're now this week, just episode 4 just came out. So I've seen the first 3. I need to catch the 4th. I'll admit, like, I was expecting a little bit more. I'm enjoying the ride so far, but... I keep comparing it to Loki. Loki was my favorite. I think we all, when we ranked them, we all had different number ones. But, you know, Loki, I feel like it set the bar very high in terms of story. And I get it. He kind of gets bonus points because of how famous he's been and how we've known his whole story. And it just really turned his world upside down, where right now we're being introduced to Moon Knight. But so far, it's been an okay ride. I'm curious to see what the last 3 episodes do because... You know, not really a spoiler, and Justin, I don't know how far you made it yet, but we don't see a whole lot of Moon Knight in the first 3 episodes, and that's, to me, a little disappointing. I love what Oscar Isaac's doing with his characters. He's a great actor, but, you know, the whole reason I'm watching Moon Knight is because I want to see Moon Knight and his various other forms of Mr. Knight and all the rest of them. So, I'll say that. I'll leave it there. Justin, have you seen any?
I haven't watched any of it yet. Like I mentioned last episode, we've been tied up watching Severance, and we just finished that. So Moon Knight's next on the list to jump into. But Jeff, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I don't know much about Moon Knight. It doesn't he's this guy with a split personality. I don't fully understand the powers. I don't understand how the gods. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but something happened in the last episode. Not today's that. I'm like, how does that fit into Marvel? That was kind of crazy what he did.
Sure.
Again, don't want to spoil anything for Justin. So Oscar Isaac is great in it. He's really good. And Ethan Hawke is really good in it. He's very weird. And he definitely puts on this, you know, kind of psycho manipulator or whatever the hell he is. Yeah. So the casting is great. It's a character I don't really know much about. So I'm just along for the journey, figuring out who he is. Is it my favorite? No, but you know, I'm more into the whole Asgard stuff is kind of my, you know, is where I enjoy more of the crazy Loki type stuff. But, it's good. It's definitely better than,
our
favorite. Winter Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of
It's a good show. It's just, you know, I think it's one of those shows where I got to wait till the end and just then be like, all right.
Yeah.
I now know who Moon Knight is. I now understand some. You're introducing a lot of different things, which is, you know, we're used to going into a show and knowing, like, we're used to going into Loki or Winter Soldier or Black Widow. We know a lot of the characters they're dealing with. We don't know any of these people.
Yeah, right. No, I agree.
A lot of new stuff, but not in a bad way.
No,
I'm curious to hear Justin's thoughts when he finishes watching it, and we'll have to do a wrap up.
Yeah.
Totally, because again, I'm assuming there's going to be some tie in to the Multiverse of Madness, because what, we're like days apart from the finale of Moon Knight and the debut of Doctor Strange 2.
The debut. Yes, we are there. Yeah, pretty close. Right. And I think what's cool about it, again, no spoilers, but like with Eternals and with this show, it's really kind of forcing you to get into this concept of gods and mystic creatures and like cosmic level beings and threats. That, you know, you have to kind of break away from Spider-Man on the street and being a human. Yes, he's got superpowers, but, you know, this is like next level stuff. We're talking about gods and, you know, people that are practically invincible due to these gods. And now we're talking leading up to Multiverse of Madness, which might introduce mutants. And then we're going into, Thor, which is then taking on God, or what's his name? Gore, the God Butcher. And I have a theory. I'm just, now that we've talked about so many gods, like, I'm wondering if maybe Gore the God Butcher is going to show up somewhere late in Moon Knight, because we're dealing with gods now. I'm curious if he's going to have a little sprinkle of, like, walking in on the scene, and then the next time you see him, it's in Thor. So I'm just curious, because now they're introducing all these concepts of gods and stuff.
It'd be cool, but he's really tied to Thor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, the way the comic's set up is, I know this is the first time I actually have knowledge on a comic.
I like it. I
actually read this one.
You're going to be our source of wisdom.
So, yeah, it's a really great story. I'm really excited to see how they do it on screen. And I always feel that Justin gets this privilege of, he watches this stuff and then he gets to see how they do it on screen and the similarities and differences. The only thing, you know, I've gotten is, you know, like a game, and they can't, for the life of them, make a good game movie. So every time I watch something that I actually know about, it's like, oh, yeah, how are they going to fuck this up?
Yeah, it's I mean, I hope that someday, like, yes, we all played Marvel Avengers for, you know, I know some of you guys may have played it all the way through, but like, I just hope one day they capitalize on all this Marvel, you know, stuff. Like, honestly, if this were the late 90s, early 2000s, they would have pumped out a PS2 game for every single Marvel character just to tack onto that movie. Like we saw with like Spider-Man 2, like they made a game with it. That was just something you did. And now they're kind of playing it close to the chest and it's cool. But, you know, I just wonder someday if they're going to lead up to this like massive multiplayer online, you know, where you create your own, you know, Jeff, if you remember like Heroes versus Villains or something way back in the day where you created your own superhero. it was a mess of a game, but like, just imagine that, you know, MMORPG and like, you know, with Marvel, I think it would be awesome. But
I doubt they'll do that. But they do like Marvel. What was the one we played where it's like an ARPG and you get to play all the different characters? We used to play that one a lot.
Yeah. Oh, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That was
Have a new one that came out for Switch.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, and it's a 4 split screen. I mean, we all should play that.
Well, and they've got like mobile games and shit. But like, I guess, long story short, we're definitely going to be spoiled this year with all Marvel stuff. You know, we've got what's at the end of the year? Gosh, I can't. Black Panther 2 even
Black
comes
Panther.
Out this year. It's like, holy cow, we are going to be crazy spoiled. So, well, everybody out there, let us know your thoughts on all the Marvel stuff. We just dove real deep into it, and I think we're going to hit up our first segment here. Let's jump into a little retro game.
Let's-a-go.
Let's-a-go indeed. I'm going to have Justin take this one away. We're talking about Streets of Rage. This bad boy was a little beat-em-up from a long time ago, back in 1991, came out August 2nd. Justin, you definitely have played this game, so let the folks out there know what's the little history behind it, when's the first time you played it, and why should everybody check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. So, audience, the reason why we're launching this one on our Retro Game of the Week is it was just recently announced this week that they're going to try to turn this into a movie. So,
I heard that.
So if Streets of Rage, like Eric says, it's a beat-em-up game, it's much in the vein of like the Simpsons arcade game, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, the X-Men arcade game, where you've got your world in front of you and you just go left and right and you just punch and use your super move to like annihilate your enemies.
Like, but it was game.
Exactly. And there was an Avengers game in like from like 1989, I think. I remember playing it at a comic book shop when I was really young and being like Hawkeye and just dying right away because Hawkeye sucks.
Was this Justin? Was this ever an arcade game or simply or strictly a console game?
Console, as far as I know, console only. I've only ever played it on. Came out in 91, so the first one had to have come out on Nintendo, not Sega. I think I got into the second one. And then the third one, I believe, came out in like 90. I think the second one came out in 94, then the third one in 95 or 96. Okay. And they just, the characters are just so, they're just so fun. Like the main character is this guy, Axel, and he just has this like dragon uppercut, and you're just, you know, you're just, just beating them up. It's just, yeah. There was a tick. Remember the tick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the video game for The Tick?
Yep.
I think that came out in like 94 or 95 on Sega and probably Super Nintendo. Well, I mean, this was just what games were. Like, they just try to imitate Mario but have more violence.
Yeah. As I looked at the pictures and some of the video before the episode, it reminded me of like Double Dragon. You know, kind of that side-scroller. Yep. You're walking down the street, like really cool background and textures and things like that. I don't know why it like, this never kind of came across my field of view in terms of playing. Like, you know, Jeff, keep me honest, you would be the one and you guys would be the family that I would have went over and played it if I did, but I feel like just people I know did not have this game. I don't know, I guess maybe it was overshadowed by you know, Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter or just, you know, any other game that's not necessarily like a 1v1 combat but more so like the side scrollers. I don't know, it just never came across my field of view, so I was glad you brought it up. But Jeff, did you guys play this one growing up?
No, like you said, you know, you were overplaying our games quite a bit.
Yeah.
I never played it. I didn't even know what it was up until recently. but I mean, I was, what system did it come out on?
It was Genesis. It was,
I think,
Sega. I think it's Sega. Yeah. I got it up on Wikipedia. So Sega Genesis is when it came out.
Yeah.
And so, I remember like Earthworm and Jim, and then there was I was really into like the Turtle side scroller, which is like Streets of Rage. It was just Ninja Turtles. I remember I had all of those, so maybe I was just at the time really into the Turtle stuff. I mean, there were so many. They were pumping out games like this left and right. They had Predator 1. They had Aliens 1.
Oh,
they had,
my gosh, the Alien vs. Predator on Super Nintendo. I forgot about that.
I have that on the emulator, the arcade I built. You should play it with me sometime.
Oh, my gosh. I made it to the final level of that game and did not beat the boss, and it still haunts me.
Oh, man. That's like... I'll be honest. I think we talked about this in, I think it was like episode 56 that comes to mind. Go back in our archives. But one of the games that I never beat was the first Mario Brothers. So I feel your pain there, Justin, when it's like just that game that got away and you just never beat the final boss. You never got through it. And it's just like, you know, it's almost like you have to put on your resume or some shit. Like, oh, and by the way, just in case you didn't know, future boss, I did not beat Mario Brothers. So it has nothing to do with the job. I just need to let you know I failed. And, you know, I hope I get the job. Thank you. Okay, goodbye.
Did we discuss in depth in episode 56 like other games that we did not were not able to beat as children?
I think we just picked our top game that like hurt the most. So we didn't really branch out too much, but you got any others out there? A little side quest?
And if I mentioned this before, I apologize, but man, the Judge Dredd video game for Sega haunts the hell out of me.
Ooh.
That sounds it was so difficult, those later levels, and you just don't have the ammunition to fight the robots, and then Rico comes out, and you're just like, I've only got like 4 pistol rounds left.
I have to ask another side question for the group, but without those like Game Pro magazines, the strategy guides growing up, do you guys feel like you could have beaten some of those games without the strategy guide, without, you know, the early ages of the internet where maybe you had some hints and tips and tricks? Like, I honestly could only beat some games because I had the strategy guide. I was definitely not saying I was a smart person, like an A+, but like I was a C average student. I thought I was good at video games, but fuck, man, if I didn't have to pull up that strategy guide to beat some games, because I was like, no fucking clue where to go, or God, how do I get this outfit or this gear? Did you guys have any games like that? Like, do you guys feel like without the guides, you could have beaten those games?
Yeah, I mean, some games you had to, some games were built for it. I mean, Ocarina of Time, everyone had the strategy guide. You did not play that game without it. And there was also, you know, back then when they released the game, there was no like, oh, the big patch came out, they fixed a bunch of shit. So if something was broken and there was a glitch, the you know, the strategy guy would be like, you have to do this in order to get to this because they didn't properly code that in correctly. So you could be looking for a chest with a key that is behind a wall that maybe wasn't supposed to be there, and you just have to like kind of fudge your way into it. And there would be no other way of you figuring that out unless you just, you know, tested the game like hours a day, just pushing into walls and hopefully, you know, it's like push the bullet. you're like, what the fuck does this mean? So no, there was a ton of game. I remember getting the strategy guys. It was so much fun, like Final Fantasy X. Ocarina of Time. When I got Breath of the Wild, I got the strategy guide for it because it brought this whole like nostalgic thing to it. And now with now that I'm playing Elden Ring, if you want to talk about fucking hard games.
Oh God.
Jesus. Yeah, that's I almost threw my controller the other day. But that's very Breath of the Wild. So there's no, it doesn't explain anything. You go out there and figure it out. And I've been looking to see if they had a strategy guide, because I'd be like, oh, this is fun. But no, I had to make my own, which is interesting in itself. But yeah, there's definitely some games where unless you have countless hours a day to just dick around in it and try to find every last bit, then no, you need the guide. Now we just Google it. I mean, that's our guide.
Just Googs it. Give it a little Googs. Justin, what about you? You a strategy guide? Yeah. Right?
I mean, if you think back to the first Zelda game with the Lost Woods, where you had to go up a screen, left a screen, down a screen, right a screen, up a screen, down a screen, and then you make it to the freaking, like, there, how the hell would you have figured that out?
Yeah, I think the original Castlevania, you had to go to the side of a wall, crouch down, throw a knife, and then a tornado picks you up. And you're like, how the hell?
God,
it's just not fair.
It truly isn't. And I remember very vividly, I think the last strategy guide I ever purchased, because I was like, you know, A, why am I buying these games? It is fun, but like, I don't want to have to get a game where I need a strategy guide. It was Vice City. Like all those stupid little white packages where there's like 200 white packages across the entire game. And they're in the stupidest little spots. And like, literally, that was all I wanted to do, was like, that was one of those big achievement missions, was to get all the packages. So I remember, like, you literally, it was like a 8,500 page packet, showed you how to beat all the missions, do this, get a shitload of money. But then it was like, all right, here's where all the packages are. And I'm like, oh my God, it was a giant unfoldable map. Showed you where all the packages
were. I remember that.
Oh my God. It was cool. Jeff, to your point, it was fun. It added a layer to the game that, like, you know what? It was the answer key if you needed it, but you kind of stayed away unless you needed it, right? Like, there, yeah, you get up, there, you get to that boss. How do I beat this fucker? Because I've tried 15 times, and they're like, oh, well, you need the broadsword. And it's like, well, God damn it. Okay. I guess I got to go buy that from the little doohickey down in the street.
That's been real interesting with Elden Ring, because they built the game that way. They want you to go online. They want you to see how other people are beating it. Their strategy, there's no right or wrong way of how you want to beat a boss. It's just learning its mechanics and then being like, how did this guy do it? Yeah. I don't know if you heard online the meme now of the naked guy with a bucket on his head.
I have. Yeah, I've seen him.
Just going around helping people kill the final boss.
Yeah.
And you know, this game's, you know, it's hard, but it's got these cool moments that are happening that, you know, I remember when we used to play games back in the day. That's kind of what it's reminding me of. So
yeah, it's cool.
I don't know that either of you ever played like the wrestling video games back in like the early 2000s, but like, it's like Mortal Kombat. It would only come with like 8 to 10 wrestlers. It wasn't like the exhaustive list that like WWE 2K21 to whatever the hell they are now. But you used to have to go online and download and print out, create a wrestler, caw, fax. So then you'd go in and you'd be like, oh, I want to have Mr. Perfect or, you know, Randy Savage, and then it'd be like a cheat code to like create your own wrestler, and then you'd make it to be somebody that wasn't in the game. That was fun.
That's awesome. That's a nice little glitch, a little Easter egg. I like that.
A little
extra to the game. I don't know. It's kind
yeah.
of cool.
It's fun. It's just so, it just, because you know the people that are making and developing these games want to give the users, or maybe back in the day, maybe they don't think this way anymore, but like, they want to give us everything.
And
like you said, like, there's no updates to be had.
Right.
you got your PS1 disc, you pop it in there, and that's it.
And you know what? I know we talked cheat codes in an episode before, but like, that is one thing. If the gaming companies are out there today, one thing you gotta bring back to make more exciting. Doesn't matter what the game is. I don't even care if it's fucking Elden Ring. There needs to be the main game, but then there needs to be that little menu option on the main first screen that says, enter in cheat codes. And you select them either on and off, like you do GoldenEye, or you put in that cheat code for like unlimited money or, you know, 50-foot sword. Like, I still am a sucker for some fun cheat codes, and I just miss that a lot of games nowadays. Unless I'm missing those games, like most big name games now don't even have that. And it's like, dude, have some fun with it, right? Like, it's fun to play the single player campaign, but fuck, man, it would maybe let me, you know, maybe I would buy another Call of Duty game if they had a whole cheat code for like DK mode and paintball and super bloody guts and gore. Like, I don't know, man, like, help us out here. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, it's a shame they don't do that as much. I get it when the game's online or you're playing with other players.
Sure.
But if it's a single player game, like, who the fuck cares? You only, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
And if you're trying to do achievements, to say, well, if you put the code in, the achievements turn off. Okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Then put the codes in.
It's just for fun. We're just a little new boot goofing around. We're just having some,
you know. Just like fun.
A little Mountain Dew on a Friday night.
That's what my sister-in-law said when she was going to a strip club for her bachelorette party.
Oh.
And my brother's there, and he's like, wait, what? And she's like, it's not like that. It's just like fun.
Okay, I like that. Like, was there fun. A buffet there? Was it
I don't know. All I know, Eric, is it's just like fun.
It's just like fun. We got that. Well, just like fun. We're moving on to the next main quest of the day. But we've talked some shows tonight. We talked some movies. But one good thing that's sadly coming to an end, and I've only seen a couple episodes. Jeff, I know you've been very invested in it. Justin, you might be somewhere in between, but Better Call Saul is on its final, very final season from the Breaking Bad universe. Mr. Bob Odenkirk, reprising his role of Saul Goodman, an iconic character from the Breaking Bad franchise. And it was at a time, I'll admit, I've only saw the first few episodes. It was at a time where I wasn't quite ready for it. Breaking Bad ended in 2013. All of a sudden, Better Call Saul came out. It was just a little bit too soon. My wounds did not heal yet from just how great of a show that was. And I stopped watching it. And I was surprised and excited to see that it's now on 6 seasons, over 52 episodes here, and sadly coming to an end. So, Jeff, I don't know. I'm sure you're shedding a little bit of a tear over there. I haven't really, outside of other shows that we know you like anime, it seems like this one really touched you in a certain way.
It's as good, if not in some ways better than Breaking Bad. I have no idea why. you literally say Breaking Bad's one of your favorite shows.
It is.
I don't. It's the same direct, same produce, same write, same everything. There's little cameos from characters from Breaking Bad. It makes no sense. The those hype moments where something's happening and you get that feeling that Breaking Bad is, this happens the same way in the show. And even for Claudia out there, who's also listening and who loves it, is probably going to call you tomorrow knowing now that you have not watched this. I don't know what, if you were abused as a child or what's going on.
Yes.
This made no sense to me. But anyway, it is Breaking Bad good. Okay. That's how... I mean, it's not less, it's not more, it is the same. And it's, Saul was my favorite. Saul and Mike are my favorite from Breaking Bad, even more so than Walter, and Jesse always annoyed me.
Ooh.
So now you get a show focused on Saul and Mike, and you learn more about Gus. There's two other new characters, which is Saul's girlfriend and stuff, who's also damaged as much as Jimmy, because that's who his real name is. You get to learn about Saul's brother, who's this really complicated, horrible, is he bad person? I don't know. I'd love to hear your input on him. Chuck, who's his brother, who's a lawyer, a very successful lawyer. I mean, you get to see how his character came to be, and you get to see how other characters we know in Breaking Bad, how they got to where they are now. You learn more about the cartels. You learn more about, how the Salamancos all got the way there. I mean, it's great. I honestly just learned today that you've not watched it.
Nope. Yeah.
And it kind of is...
Yeah, it'll probably be a show once it's all said and done. I'll probably pop it in. It's just been, staring at me every time I try to stream something. Was it on now? Like Hulu or Netflix? Who the fuck knows?
On Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch it. It's on my list. So it was just definitely at a time where I couldn't stomach it yet. And I'm glad to see where it's gone and glad to hear that it's as good or better than Breaking Bad, because that gives me a lot of hope. Because I'll admit, and I'm not to sidetrack us here, a little different than a side quest, sidetrack, that I've heard a lot of the same about like a show called The Wire, where everybody's like, up, they're raving about it, it's awesome. I just finished all the episodes, all the seasons last week. It fucking sucked. I didn't like it at all. It was terrible.
this is the the guy that wrote, directed. I mean, this is...
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing.
I love that. So I'll definitely give it a gander. But Justin, have you watched any Better Call Saul?
Yeah, so I've seen the first 5 seasons. I'm not caught up on the new episodes that just released, so I don't know what season 6 holds. I did see that they announced some special characters that maybe they are in the first 2 episodes, 3 episodes, whatever's out. don't want to spoil if you haven't seen it or when they come in, but it seems like it's really going to tie a knot. And it seems like at the end, when the finale hits, I don't think that you can have Better Call Saul without Breaking Bad. And I don't think you can have Breaking Bad without Better Call Saul. It seems, Jeff, I mean, does that sound accurate to, like, speculation?
Yeah, I mean, the shows are the perfect pair.
Pairs well with each other, huh?
I've never, what is it about, I mean, just watching, the season 5 just came out on Netflix. 2 days, I've binged the entire thing. What is
but it's
about,
just
no, but what is it about the writing, the directing, is the acting? I mean, that is, you're just, it's Better Call Saul is the same quality as Breaking Bad. And probably most listeners who watch Breaking Bad have watched Saul besides, for some reason, Eric.
I have a side quest in my pocket that I'm gonna pull out in a second. But, like, it's just the little details about Better Call Saul. Like, in Breaking Bad, when he's like, oh, I once convinced a waitress that it was Kevin Costner. And then you see that scene in Better Call Saul. And it's hilarious.
There are just awesome just moments in that. The courtroom stuff. Even my brothers, who are both lawyers, say that the courtroom scenes in Saul are almost identical of how it really worked. Like, they've brought on lawyers to really go through how, you know, court is actually conducted and all that. And he is what if you put a genius scam artist and gave him a law degree
from like Puerto Rico or wherever he gets it from?
Because and you're constantly asking, is he a criminal, is he not? I still don't know. I'm just, where Walter White has just, by the end of it, he's just an evil douchebag. He's turned into this, but Saul still, on season 6, you just don't know. He is the most gray character I've ever watched.
Well, I think we can all agree that Bob Odenkirk, that dude's had a career. He's going to hang his hat up at some point, hopefully not for a long time, but like
the best SNL skits.
Yeah, him and Mr. Show, and like now getting into drama. Like, I'll be honest, it was a little bit funny to see him in the first couple episodes of Breaking Bad when he was first introduced. I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's kind of, isn't he the funny guy? Like, isn't he a comedian? And then pretty quickly, hell yeah, dude, this guy is, he's got the acting chops for it.
Yeah, and they even bring it out more in him in
He becomes so complex.
He is such, and his girlfriend Kim. I mean, the whole you learn more about Mike, and it's just
Nacho. Breaking Bad Superman. Awesome.
What?
Nacho is awesome.
Just the whole thing. Eric, this is. I thought you would have been up to date on it for such a Breaking Bad fan. It's like, I love Star Wars A New Hope, but then I never watched Empire Strikes Back. What?
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Once this season ends, I'll definitely jump in there and take a peek.
Then you're going to have to watch Breaking Bad over again for, what, the fifth time probably?
It'll be so good. It'll definitely be like my summer this summer. It'll be great. Justin, I think did you have a side quest in your back pocket you want to pull out?
Just a quick side quest. I know we're coming up at time, but so Eric has fumbled the ball by having never watched Better Call Saul. Jeff, is there a show that
Eric, we got to call you out on this one?
Is there a show that like maybe you watch an episode or two of that everybody loved, but it just didn't do it for you?
I mean, most recently, definitely The Wire. It took me 2 tries. I got through season 1 about a year and a half ago, and then I never wanted to watch season 2. And then I tried again about a month and a half ago, and it finally clicked. I finally wanted to watch it. I said, you know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to just get through it. But that was one of those shows. I'm trying to think of another one that I just didn't really care for. It's been a while, but that's the first one that
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul, of course.
You got 2 in the bag.
Gosh, I feel like what else have people talked about in the past few years that I'm just like, ah, the show called Dark. I think it's like a German show on Netflix where that took a while to get into. It's almost like the dubbed version, but it was like supposed to be one of the greats, and it's like Stranger Things, and it was around that hype of Stranger Things. And it was another one where it like took me a while because I'm like, A, I didn't like the dub. I didn't like seeing their mouths move and saying something different and just like those super fake American voices. So Dark is another one. Outside of that, I'm sure I'll think of a few more, but I don't know. Jeff, what about you? Did you have any?
I have so many of shows that everyone's talking about that I could just give a rat's ass about. I mean, The Wire, yeah, I heard it's great. I have zero interest in even turning that on. And from what you said, it's pretty garbage. But I don't like cop shows at all where you're following cops. I know, like, House is very popular. I'm not wasting my time watching, you know, shows about this. I have a very, you know, I know what I like to watch. I like to watch fantasy. I like to watch sci-fi. And I like to watch anime. Every once in a while, I will deviate from that when it's a show like Breaking Bad, or I know, Eric, you've never heard of this show, but Better Call Saul. I definitely, you know,
I'll take a peek.
I'll kind of rear off to what I normally like and watch something like that just because it's that, you know, that fucking good. But there's so many shows that are super popular and I could... And I'm like, I'm not going to like that just because it's popular. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it. And there's plenty of them.
Yeah. Justin, what about you?
Two come to mind. You mentioned one already. I watched the first season of Stranger Things. I watched the first episode of the second season of Stranger Things. And I walked away. I was like, I don't get it anymore. This is not cool. This is not fun. The music's iconic. Yeah. But I can just listen to that on Spotify.
Yeah.
So I don't know that people are still talking about it, but the other one was I watched the first episode of Walking Dead. I love zombie movies. I love zombie lore. I watched that piece of shit and I just turned it off and walked away and I was just like, this is stupid.
It's really bad. I don't know how that's still on.
I made it through like season 3 or 4 or something like that. Like it got to the point where it's just like, guys, gals, why are we spending episodes versus drama? I'm like, where are the fucking zombies? There's like episodes where nothing happens. They're just like sitting in a fucking farmhouse and it's like, they're just drama and they're trying to kill each other. It's like, okay, that's realistic in a zombie apocalypse. Let's kill each other because we're the only hope we have to survive. Sounds about right. Smart.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah. Pass. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's just so many shows out there, too. Jeff, like you said, you got to kind of pick and choose your battles, which ones are even worth it. You know, you got to have those credible sources of people you trust.
It's getting to the point where it's just too much stuff.
Yeah.
You got too many streaming services pumping out too much stuff. You really have to kind of pick and choose. And I think it's good. It's becoming like gaming. There's so many different types of games. Yeah. There's fighters, there's RPGs, there's strategy, and there's too many. You can't play them all. Yeah. So you have the genres that you're into and you stick to your lane.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what TV is becoming, unless it's Netflix and they'll just cancel it after a season or two.
Yeah.
Well, you never see the end. But yeah, you gotta really just kind of stick to your lane at this point.
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to do change a little bit is you know, at least stick to my guns and try to power through at least half of the first season. Like right now, I started like 2 nights ago watching Reacher on Amazon. I don't know why. I just saw it as I scrolled through because I was done with The Wire. And I said, you know what? I've heard some decent things. It's kind of an action show. It's like 50-minute episodes and it's not that many episodes. And I'm like, I'll check it out. And, you know, a couple episodes in, is it a great show? Not really. Is it entertaining where it's like mindless action, kind of interesting plot points? Is it something I'm going to tell people about? Go watch it. It's the best ever. No, but I'm trying to not waste time in terms of like, actually, you know what? I'm going to just stick to the show. I'm going to stick it all the way through, see if I regret it. Or you know what? Hey, it's not the worst show I've ever seen. Right. So I guess what I'm trying to do is just kind of power through some of those and give it the benefit of the doubt. Cause like Justin, I'm like you, there's certain times and shows and movies where I'm like, as soon as I am bored, I am done. Like, you even like, turn it off, find something else. I'll pop on like Mario 64 instead. Like, give me something else to do with my time. But yeah, I'm trying to make some changes here, but we'll see. New year, new me. Is it too late for that? Oops. Well, all right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us this episode. Let us know about all the things we talked about tonight. Marvel, what are all the latest updates? What are you most excited for? What do you think of Thor? What's going to happen? Give us all the spoilery details. We love it. Streets of Rage, have you ever played it? Join in on the fun. Let us know about it. And then last but not least, let us know about Better Call Saul. If you're going to miss it, if you love it, or if you're completely opposite of Jeff and you hate it to bits and pieces, let us know. Shout him out, yell at him, tag him. He loves that stuff. And make sure you send him recipes for food as well, because he also loves food. all right, folks. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Gentlemen, how shall we end it today? Oof. I think, Jeff, you got to do some Better Call Saul impression, because you're such a big, big bad boy in that realm.
You got to do your Walter White.
Okay. How about I do, I'll do Walter White. Justin, you do Jesse. And then Jeff, you do your best Saul Goodman, just quote. All right. Jesse, we got to get out of here.
Yo, bitch.
Hi, kids.
Why is it kids? Why, hey, kids? I feel like he's kind of like the, well, you know, guys, I don't know if that's the best idea, but okay, we're going to go do it anyways. He's just, you know.
There it goes.
Okay. All right, folks. Okay, bye. We'll see you.